Hamikdash. And because of that, the Parah Aduma is a blip on the radar. Once a year, we have Parshas Parah. Shabbos comes, Shabbos goes, end of the story with Parah. Yeah. Even if you lived in the time of the Migdash, it was not so like they actually ever were able to witness the Parah Aduma. Anyone, the Machlekes of the Tanoim and the Mishnayos Parah, where there were 7 or 9 Sach HaKol in all of Jewish history. So it was a very infrequent ritual, as we would say. So what I decided to do tonight, Tayyes, that this week is Parshas Parah, is to go through a little bit of the Mishnayos and Parah, that we should get a little bit of sense. A little bit of a sense, a whole mesechta about it, but a little bit of a sense, some highlights of what the Parah Aduma was about. Now we know that Parah Aduma was necessary, as it's spelled out at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, a person that had come in contact with a mace, and the different ways to come in contact. It means physical contact, maga, means you could be ma'al al mace, means you leaned over the mace, or you went under an oil, and the mace brought to Tumas Mace. There are different ways that a person could become a Tmei Mace. Our Karponim, if a Tmei Mace cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash. So if a person came and he had entered the Beis HaMikdash, and particularly this time of the year, everyone has to bring a Korban Pesach. So Parah Aduma was a big business. So I want to look a little bit, first of all, what was the Parah Aduma? What is a Parah? It says Parah Aduma. It doesn't say Egel, it says Parah. What is meant by that? And then to go through the Mishnayos a little bit in Perek Gimel, the process of how actually they went about some parts of the Parah Aduma. We can't do all of them. Now, just one other note before we begin. We know, the Gemara says in Zvochim, that Parah Aduma is Chattas Targir Rachmana. It's called a Chattas. So if I ask, where was this Korban Chattas brought? Mind thinks, well, Chattas has to be in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azor. But no way. It was not shechted in the Mikdash at all. It was shechted totally outside. And practically speaking, they did it on Har HaMishnah, Har HaZeisim. Why? Because there's a din of the Hazor, when they sprinkle the blood, it has to be towards Noichach B'nai Oil Noid. It has to be towards the Mokum HaMikdash. So if you sneer, as you know, anyone that's ever been on Har HaZeisim, you have a bird's eye view right into the Mikdash. So therefore, they used to stand, that was the place, the station, where the Kohen stood to sacrifice, to do the Shechita, etc., whatever else you had to do. With the Parah Aduma, it was all done on Har HaZeisim, it was not done in the Mikdash. Certain features was similar to a Korban Chattas, and that's what the Gemara Zvokim means, Chattas Targir Rachmana. So that's the basic background of this part.
Must not have been a
what? Obviously, it was not a Beis HaKoros at that time. Otherwise, the Kohen would have become Tomei. The Kohen that's Tomei cannot bring the Korban. A limited tumah, yes. A Tful Yoyim was allowed to bring it. There were machbid effect that the person should be a Tful Yoyim. So we saw on the Rishayim as a question, if he was a Tful Yoyim from a tumah deraisa or from a tumah derabanan. That's a machlekes the Rambam and Tosfos. So let's take a little bit, a look at Masechta Parah. So the halacha is that you have to have a parah, and you can't have an eidel. So the child is what is meant by this. Is it when the Ezer Oymer, this is the Mishnah right at the beginning of Masechta Parah, eidlo bashnosa. Until a year old, it's called an egba. Uporos bashtai. That is another halach. It's interesting. It's not only the issue that when you shecht it, but they could not even acquire it to purchase it before to be used for a parat huma until it became a part. In other words, let's say shmero, right, was noilat etzlei parat huma. So it went, ziknei bezdin went, and the Sanhedrin, and they're satisfied, this is the real deal. You're not allowed to buy it from him until it reaches the age of par. So this is what that's another place that it's relevant. And what they can do is, suppose they find it and they want to make sure that they don't lose it. So then what they can do is, they can go to the balabos and say, listen, we have an agreement, we'll give you X amount of money for it, but we don't want to actually acquire this from you, we'll stay by you. And after it's a year old, then we're going to close the deal. So they can sort of, you know, go to contract on it. And the closing will be after it becomes a year old. That they could do. That's the first view in the Mishnah. That so he learned that it's a different in the Chacham. That Eglo Shaloch Eglo Rufi Chol Yosdam Bashtayim. An Eglo, where it says he needed Eglo Rufu, can be 2 years old. But a Poro is what's 3 years old. Obas Arba, 4 years old. All of this starts in the beginning of the third year, and on, then it's a Poro. And we'll see, but it has a limitation, because you can't use this forever. Rameir Oimer Af Bas Chomesh, that even one that's 5, you're allowed to use. The Chacham only said 3 and 4, and he said you can have a 5-year-old one. Okay, so that is the basic background of this issue of what you need. In other words, it was a shaila netanoim, if it has to be 2 years old, if it has to be at least 3 years old, and how far you're allowed to go with this. But it says on the Shein Mabtinan law, if you want to shecht it right away and it's older than this, you're allowed to. But you can't keep it. Why? Because as it gets older, it's more likely that it's going. Some of the hairs are going to darken and you're going to get other colored hairs. So if you buy it at this moment, it's older than that, the Mishnah is saying. Then the outlines that we have in the Mishnah, but they're planning to shecht the paradum immediately. So they know right now it's all ready. So today we'll take it, we'll shecht it. But if we're preparing now, you know, we're planning to make the paradum on Chayyush Elul. Oh, listen, the paradum is you don't find too often. So we found one now in our door, so we'll buy it. And we'll put it out in the deer, in the corral, in the barn, and we'll keep it there another half a year. And another half a year, maybe you'll come back and you'll find that there's 2 black hairs, it'll be possible. So if it's older, an older one, you can only buy if it's kosher now, if you're going to shecht it me up. But if you're planning to put off the shechita, then you cannot buy an older one for fear that it's going to develop simonei psul, such as 2 black hairs.
You can't buy, you know, if you don't allow
they don't allow it. Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. There's no shame of the people. The thing is, they know that Shachar says, "Man, a liknoisa lechatchila." They're not supposed to buy it. Yes, listen. Sof no sof. Moment hegdish has to be used as moment hegdish. That's supposed to be thrown to the wind. So, Mavela, they impose since if you're going to keep this animal around, maybe it'll get 2 black hairs. It's already older, and it's likely you know. Lahavda, we know with children, the same thing is true. Many, many children are blunt. Blondish hair adults are very few in our community, but there are many, many blonde children. So what happens? Whatever, I don't know the chemical, the biochemical process, but the mitzias is, as time goes on, the hair gets darker. So the same apparently is true in the world of the animals too. This paradum is now nice and red. But who wears up to says it's going to stay that way. So therefore, they limited the right to buy such a para unless we were going to shech the right away.
You can dilute it and add water to whatever solution you have and make it a lot, can't you?
What's that?
You need to take the make the solution a paradigm, and you got issues, and you got.
We'll get to that. We're not up to that part.
Okay.
Now, it's a very colorful. The whole process is a very colorful one. It's one of the most unusual and most colorful processes that we have in the entire body of the halacha. You'll see in a moment. Since Parah Adumah was at the root of the Torah of every person, that every person that wanted to become Torah from Tzimonis had to have a Parah Adumah. So they wanted to make absolutely sure that nothing could go wrong with the Parah Adumah. No misfires, you know. A korban that you bring one day in the Beis Hamikdash is possible. Okay, listen, we don't want that to happen, but the world didn't end. But if we're only going to have 7 or 9 Parah Adumahs in all the history, and now for the next 100 years, phew, they're going to use the ashes of this Parah Adumah, we better make sure that there's no misfire here, no matter what. We don't want to find out 300 years from now. Oh, you know about that? The whole Parah Adumah was messed up, you know? For the last 300 years, we've been on the wrong track. So you'll see what they did. It's amazing what they did to deal with this issue. Now, there were 2 parts to the main part. Okay, those 2 parts are the ash and the water. And they both have to be taught. Now, so we're going to deal first with the part of the water. How do we get the water? So the water, they gathered from the Shiloh. The Shiloh was a Maya, so the water is definitely taught. The water cannot become tumbling there. But how do we assure that no human is tumbling is going to be the one that touches the water and transports it to the Bigdash? And how do we assure that in you go up from the Shiloh up into Yerushalayim, maybe you'll pass over a mace, maybe there's some mace along the way. So how do we assure that no mace is going to come in contact with this part? So here we're going to see one of the most unusual and I think most colorful procedures in the whole body of the halacha. The first part we dealt with already in Yuma. Shivas Yomim Koydim Sreifas HaParah, 7 days before they burned the Parah Adumah, Mafrish Koyin HaSereh HaSaporah HaBesam, they separated him from his house, Lelishcho Shalpanei Abira, to an office which was at the edge of the Beis HaMikdash. And Safayna Mizroch in the northeast corner. So the north was to indicate that in certain regards it has a status of a chatas, and therefore he has to remember that. One of them, for example, is in Lishmo. It has to be Lishmo. If it's not for the Lishmo, it'll be possible, but the chatas. And Mizrach is to be masker, Shabashos, Adazor, Sadam HaPora, when he splashes the dam of the Pora. Now remember, he's not anywhere near the Mizbeach. He's a Harazes. So he has to face Pesach HaHechel. He has to face the doorway of the Hechel. And which is on the eastern side of the Hechel. And these are the 2 things, that's when I chose an office at the northeast edge of the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Beis Evan, it had a special name. Why was it called Beis Evan? Because all the kalim that they used in this office, in other words, he has to eat, he has to drink, he can't fast for a whole week. So how are we sure? We want to make sure that none of the kalim could be kalim tumeim. So klei evin are not makabel tumah. So mamela we know. So only klei evin were used in this office. So the office became known as Beis Evin. Umazin alof kol shiva sayama. And listen, this guy, as far as he knows, he's tall, but maybe he's not. Maybe somewhere along the way. You know, you went up on the George Washington Bridge and there was a hearse, you know, half a mile ahead of you on the bridge. So you didn't realize. And he became Tmei Meis. How does he know? From Vada Dresda. Umazanalov, Koshiva, Sayomim. They spritz on him all 7 days. You call Chatoyo Shahoyushan. And they used every Chatos that they had a cabinet, basically, in the Beis HaMikdash, in a place called the Chil. And in that cabinet, they had Kalim. And there they had Ish. They had Mechatas water, but they had from all the Mechatas They had remnants of every parah tumah there.
But why 7 days? It's supposed to be Yom HaShlishi or Yom HaShvi'i. Why would you have to do it every
day? That's, by him, there were more machmer. We'll see. They did all the 7 days.
Okay,
that's not
okay.
Okay, that's beyond what I want to go into tonight. The Gemara does discuss it. Rabbi Yossi, Omer lo hayu mazen alav elo bashlishi u bashvi'i levad. Only on the third and the seventh day, similar to the tumas metzah. So, Rabbi Chanina skana koyanim, Omer. The kohen a seirif is a poro, and the one that seirif is the poro is mazon kol shiva sayom. He gets 7 days. Now, shayom atipurim or you mazon alav elo b'shvi'i b'shlishi b'shvi'i b'lo. So this is how we make sure the kohen was tummy. Now, how do we make sure the water is? I mean, make sure the kohen is tummy. How do we make sure the water is tummy? Now, listen to this. This is unbelievable. Chatzeros hayu Yerushalayim. There were special courtyard yards in Yerushalayim. Benuyos agave selim. They were built upon bedrock. So no one apparently ever dug through them to put a kever under them. And yet, for tachteim cholo. And nevertheless, we still left an open space under them with a poseach tefach. So even if somehow, some way, somebody dug a tunnel from somewhere else and put a mess under this place, you know, enough you wanted to get rid of some guy. So just no one's ever going to look on the bedrock. So they were a solid stone. So they went and they dug a tunnel from somewhere else and they dumped them with their victim under here. Maybe he's down there. So if we'll be down there, so we'll go straight through the Tumas Bokasba, the time of everyone. So they made sure that underneath this rock, this stone, was a Chalal Tefach, an opening of a Tefach. So even if there is a mess, you'll still be taught. So the Rambam learns that this was a double precaution that they took. Number one, they took a place where the Fira Isa Ayin and no one was ever buried. And somehow, some outside strange thing could have happened that someone was buried there. They had a Chalal Tefach besides. If they came out to him, because maybe there's some guy never they got dumped in there. So this was a chotzer where Tumas Meis was impenetrable to Tumas Meis.
Could have been Bishus Aram, what do you call it? Tumas Bishus Aram, Steko Tor.
Right. They were not interested in sveikis and anything. This was going to be.
Push this. I got it.
Boris, and they brought pregnant women. Vyodosho. And they came there before they gave birth. And they gave birth in these chatzeros in Yerushalayim. And they didn't leave. I guess, in other words, they must have known that they're soon preparing in the next few years to bring a paraduma. So they came and they moved into this neighborhood. And that's it. And you stayed in this neighborhood. You never went out of the neighborhood. Under house arrest, in effect. By your own, I guess you had to sign up. They didn't draft you. The Yoldosham Umgadvishnam Esbedayim. And they raised their children in this place. They never leave this neighborhood. Now, Mahoya Bayamahu is the day, that's it. The Kohen is burning the ashes in the Paraduma. So now we need the water. Umavim Shvorim. And they bring oxen. Now, oxen are very broad in their own rights. The Algabeim Tlosai. So some learned this was also a double protection. Why? Because, first of all, the axe is wide enough and it's not makabel tumah, so and it has a pesach tefach, whatever. Maybe it doesn't need pesach tefach, but it has it. But it's mafsik b'fnei tumah. Elamai, maybe this kid will stick out his hand. He sees that there's a fig on the tree, he'll stick out his hand to get it. And maybe that hand will go over a mess along the road. So we put a broad platform on this axe. So even if the kid stretched out his hand and his foot in any which one direction, he would never pass the edge of this wood. This wood was pshutakliyates, means it didn't have a base kibble, it couldn't hold anything inside. It was a flat piece of wood, and it's not mekabel tumah. So this was an extra protection that in case this kid stuck his hand out, he still wouldn't become tumah. And then the tinoikis, Yerushman al-Galeim, and they put the tinoikis up, I guess they must have had, you know, seat belts, you know, to hold them in place that they didn't run to the edge. The koisei shall even be yodim. And they had cups of stone. Again, the stone is not makabel tumah. So when they're going to pick up the water from the shiloah, the kli could not ever have been makabel tumah. Higil ha-shiloah. They reached the Shiloach Yordu Amilo. They went down, they dismounted from these oxen, they went down into the Shiloach, and they filled up the Kalim, the clay Evan, and then they went up on top of the oxen again. And that's the way they're going to ride back to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yossi says that they were even more machmer than that. Because maybe in the Shiloach there'll be a mess, and they'll come in contact with that mess in the Shiloach or an oil. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Yomim, and Mekoyim Oyo, Mishal Shulma Malet, they lowered down a rope with the clay Evan into the Shiloach, and that's how they pulled up the water. And they themselves never went past the edge of the losses of these platforms. So here we have pregnant women come, they give birth there, they raise the kids in this neighborhood, they never leave until after they finish with the Pora Aduma. And the day comes, they have a special ox, but they take oxen, because oxen were the strongest animals that they had, because they had elephants. So beasts of burden, well, ox was the strongest animal. If you wanted to put a platform on it, an ox could hold up to that, to having a platform on it. So they took an ox, they put the kid on top, they rode him down to the Shiloach, and either he descended into the Shiloach and he filled up the clay Evan, or according to Rabbi Yossi, he didn't even descend, he just lowered the clay Evan with a rope and pulled it up. They're not finished yet. Bol Harabayas. They came back to the Harabayas now. Viordu, they dismounted. Why? Because Harabayas, the Azoros, the Achteim Cholum, and the Kevarat Oyim, the Beis HaMikdash was built in a fashion that had a stone floor. And under that was Cholot Tefach, and the whole Mikdash. They wanted to make sure, I mean, what are we going to have a Beis HaMikdash? And the Beis HaMikdash is going to have too much space in it. I mean, that would be the ultimate disaster. So they made sure there could be no Tumas Mace. How? Because the floor, they put a stone floor, and under it, they made a Cholot Tefach when they made it. So even if there's a mess underneath the floor, it can't penetrate through, it'd be Matamid of Migdash. So in the Migdash, they can dismount. Over Pesach, or Azorah, as they entered the Azorah, there's Vesnoshim, or Yvesukim Cholot Shalchatas. There were these Kalim vats. That Efer Chattas from the old Poros. And the Mavuva to Sefto, Shabbatol Chattas Bechattas, Yimasukim Bechoyso Kolo Bifneatma. Each one had its own Zecha, they weren't all mixed together. Each Poraduma that was ever brought up until that time had a special vat with its ashes, some of the ashes. And they were also covered with stone, again to make sure that they couldn't become tummy. And in the chil, that part of the Reish Hamikdash, you could see these covers projecting upwards. Now what did they do? Now we're still not ready. We have to take the ash, and we have to mix the ash with the water. Well, maybe we're going to be with Tommy the ash. So the Tanakhama says that we weren't finished yet with colorful projects. We brought a Zohar Sharachelim. With Koishman Chevel Ben Kana, when you tie a string in between a rope, in between its horns. With Koishman Makom, and on the other end you take a stick. And you twist it around the other end of the end of the rope. And you throw it into the kolo. Then machas, in other words, one end this time is attached to the animal, and the other end is attached to this little wooden baton. And then what he said, and you throw the wooden baton into the vat with the ashes. And then you give a smack to the animal, so he runs back. But since he wound around many times, so in between the rings, he's going to hold ash. And that's the ash that gets pulled out. So it's pulled out without being directly contacted, even by these children. And then you take it and you mekadesh the mayim. And what do you have to do? Kedei sheyeroa al pnei hamayim. There has to be enough ash that you see the ash floating on the surface of the water. If you put that little ash that it dissolved right away, then it doesn't become meipor. It has to be enough ash. Doesn't have to be a lot, but there's enough ash that there's ash which remains on the surface. And you see ash on the surface of the water.
This is in the Beis HaMikdash?
This is already in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, Rabbi Yossi objected. And it's interesting. He was the one that was before, was Machna. And he said that the children should not dismount. And rather they should lower down the kelim with a rope. And yet, so you would imagine that he would be happy for every chumrah in the book that he could imagine. This chumrah he objected. Why? Al titnu mokul itzukim lirbas. Do not allow the tzukim to be able to mock the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If we're going to make it in such a strange way that we take the ashes out and throwing the baton in and the animal pulls them out, he says, the tzukim are going to say, we're running a circus act in the Beis HaMikdash. This is not, you know, this is a sanctuary. This is how you act up there. They forgot the difference between Ringling Brothers, you know, and the Beis HaMikdash discovery, you know. So we're opening up. Lirdos means to lord over, like we would do with Gasa, Yamuvayifashamayim, and Parshat Bereishis. So we'll allow the tzukim to lord over us because they'll mock what we do. So this chumra is not kedai, l'hu noitel l'makadosh. And one of the reasons for all the extreme chumras that we're going to do, one of the reasons, is because there was a machlokes of the tzukim and the chachomim, the state of tahara that had to, that the person that actually was involved making the paraduma what it had to be. The tzukim said he had to be 100% tahara at the highest level. The chachomim said that it's kosher betulyom. Tul Yom is a person that had to go to the mikvah, and he's supposed to wait till Harav Shemesh till tonight, and after, basically, Harav, we don't know, he's sub goes with Tzeisak Ochoven, and the Tzeisak Ochoven becomes Tor. So, for example, like Koyin that touched the Sheretz. So, he's not allowed to eat Truma, because Koyin Tommy is not allowed to eat Truma. So, what does he do? He goes to the mikvah, he's Toivel himself. He still can't eat Truma till when? Till the night time. To have Harav Shemesh till the night, and Tzeisak Ochoven, as the Gemara spells out in the Beis and Brochus. So, Chazal said that a Tful Yom is kosher for Paradum. Now, since the Tzedukim were insistent that they have someone that was absolutely Tor, without any scintilla of Tumah, not even a Tful Yom, and the Halacha allows a Tful Yom, so the Chachamim went out of their way to dafka do it with Tful Yom. They would not allow it to be done with someone that was 100% tar, because they wanted to remind the Halacha, that the Halacha is that the Tful Yom is kosher. So they dafka used the Tful Yom. So according to some Rishonim, it means he was Tomei like a Tomei Sheretz. Suppose it was even a Tumah D'Oraisa and not a Tumah D'Rabbanan. So now, because of that, touched the Sheretz. There's a question if it touched the Sheretz or a Tumah D'Rabbanan. So my colleague is the Rambam and Tosis, which one it is. I'll call upon him. So now, what they did is, so now that they were insistent on this point, because they wanted to remind the Messiah, but they did not want people to think, the Paradum is not a big deal, you know? It's the least of the Kavanos. Look, you don't even shech the thing in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Dama to this Beyach. That Tful Yom does it, you know? This is basically, you know, this is a shady carbon, in effect, you know? Whatever you do with it, it's fine. You can't possibly think. So, therefore, since they wanted Klal Yisrael to understand the chaymer, the severity, the gravity of the paraduma, so in every other prat along the way, they dumped on chumras and chumras and chumras, unlike anything else that was necessary in the Beis HaMikdash. We have here, for example, there's one simple example, I'm going to run into this a little bit later, that to be the kohen, to do the avodah in the Mikdash, he had to tovel himself to make sure he's tovel. Now, suppose he tovelled himself to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so he came and he made a chatas and an oyudah and whatever else he did. Then the kohen goes to him and says, Yankel, you know, listen, do me a favor. Go up on Har HaZeis and we'll have a paraduma today. You're a learned guy, so go take care of the paraduma. So he can't. What does he ask? He has to go back to the mikvah and be taught and again, being attire himself with the shame, poor Adam. That's not, it's even more than that. There's another step. Let's say Yankel went up there. He was toyim with the shame paraduma, and now the first paraduma became possum. So by some strange coincidence, they happened to have a backup paraduma. It's hard enough to find one, but these guys had a backup paraduma. So in case the first one went down, so they ran and they brought the second one up. So now this Yankel has to go and be toyim with himself again, because he only prepared for paraduma number one. He was not. Didn't make the hachonas for paraduma number two. So he's not allowed to do paraduma number two until he goes back and is toivel himself again. He's the one who drums, Kokoy and Elliot.
He allowed the learning to do
it. Now he says the following. So who takes the ash? So he says, those tinoikis, those are the ones that took the ash. We didn't have this animal procedure. So this is what I just told you, that if the guy prepared for one paraduma, and the para went down, so he has to go and be toivel himself again. And similarly, suppose they appointed the child Levi to be the one to pour the water, and now they switch to someone else. No, we're going to take Yisachar instead of Levi. So that's not enough. So the kli that we use, we toivel the kli to make sure that there couldn't be any scintilla of tumah to it. The Everything has to be moved. So it needs a special tara besides everything else. It needs a hachona. This is not a tuma. It's definitely tara. This is a hachona. You need a special hachona for the paraduma. This is Divrei Rabbi Yosi.
Doesn't it have to go all the
Hard
Sofim, and have to spritz toward the Beis HaMikdash from there, which would be more chance to come without all of those extra chemicals?
What?
They go to Hard Sofim, that's where they're spritzing toward the
Beis HaMikdash. Arazaisim.
I don't know how it's, it doesn't matter though, close enough, right?
Yeah.
So that's quite a distance. That's over a long valley.
They don't spritz, they just spritz in that direction. It doesn't have to reach, doesn't get anywhere near the Mikdash.
No, it doesn't. But to get the stuff, to get the Afer across the valley, you don't have all of those extra corners. You don't have a bridge or anything to.
No, they went back with the same poros. We'll see what they did with the Afer. Let's just wait. We're not up to the Afer yet. Right now we're dealing with the water. We didn't get to the Afer yet.
They don't have a bridge going across to the Arjun. That's a long, that's quite a distance.
They didn't have a car. They had a donkey or a horse.
Yeah. Tzrich and Lahazis. And another thing, that even though they were grew up in these chatzeres, they used to spritz the mechatis upon them. One tinok was mazan all the others. Kodim shahokul lishah b'koyser shaleven. Before they went to fill up, before they filled up the koyser shaleven, they dumped mei chatas and every one of these children. Why? There's not shayach. How could there be tumas meis when they lived in this closed shkuna, right? Obviously, they didn't let anybody out, and it had solid rock on the bottom and cholol tefach under it. So what do they have to spritz on these kids for? Well, you know what? Maybe a bird came by and dropped down a kazayas min amis and it hit somebody. So maybe a kazayis that was bombed from a bird with a kazayis shalmis could have happened. So it's a way out kshash. But even for that kshash, according to Rabbi Yossi, again, Rabbi Yossi is consistent with Rabbi Yossi at the beginning, that Rabbi Yossi didn't even let them dismount. Maybe there'll be a mess in the shalach. Rabbi Akiva, I'm going to go to the Hazars. To be concerned about something way out, so way out, even that far we didn't go.
They were Muslim in advance before they left.
Before they left, yeah. Because maybe they got bombed by a bird, bombed them.
Does too much mace go up to a river?
It would, because I don't think they went up. They could have touched it also when they went into the Shiloh. Besides, both. Lomotsum Misheva, if they didn't find remains of all the ashes from all the seven, if we didn't find ash for whatever reason from old Paradum, so we didn't use them. That was the preferred method. Or Mayachas, even from one. Umiyasom, who made these Paradumas? Harishayna Asa Moshe. The first one was made by Moshe. Vashmiya Asa Ezra. And this is an amazing thing. The first one was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the second by Ezra. So Ezra is the beginning of the second bias. So make a cheshbon. From Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of the Midbar, right, he made a paraduma, right? In the sense of the Shonashniya, made a paraduma. So we have 39 years in the Midbar. 850 years till the Chorban Bayis Rishon from then. Right, so we have already 889 years. 70 years of the Chorma. Okay, we didn't need it. But for 889 years, the Paradum of Moshe lasted. Ezra made the second one. And yet, V'chomesh me Ezra ve'elach. And what's odd is they had five more that are going to be spelled out or were made from the time of Ezra, and it means throughout the Bayis Sheni, from Ezra on, after Ezra was the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, so during the Bayis Sheni there were five more. So each one lasted Baruch 80 years, approximately. There were six in the 70 years for the whole. And Moshe Rabbeinu's lasted for so long. The Chachomim Oimer, and the Chachomim say, Sheva me Ezra ve'elach. There were seven, means that according to the Chachamim, there were nine altogether in history. Umi Ason Shimon HaTzadik, who are the ones that made them? Shimon HaTzadik, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Osu Shtayim, each of them made two in their lifetime. Al Yehoni ben Hakuf, Rechanam El HaMitzvah, Yishmo ben Pi'avi, Osu Achas Achas. Each one of them made one. Now the Gemara is going to talk about that. The next part is going to talk about the Tyre of the Parah. Until now, we just got to the water part. The Kevesh Hoyu Oisin Meharabayis Nara Mishkan. And they made a ramp, which went, a type of bridge. All of Yehu Kolom is asking the Parah to the Kahamon. Harabayis Nara Mishkan. The Harabayis asked for the Choshishu Ola Ola Meis. There is no problem. Kevesh Harabayis Tachta Kolom. Maybe somebody buried somebody outside the old city. They made a ramp. And it says it went out from the Shara Mizrachi, what we call Shara Rachamim. And the Shara Koyim, the Cholam Asayim, Yotzu, the Dark of the Shara Mizrachi, Shal Harabayis, and it was Shara Shushan. And it says, it's Chilosu, Shal Kevesh, Shal Yimayus, Shara Shushan. And this carries a nimshach mishama the Hara Mishkan until Hara Zaysim. They made a type of bridge, footbridge. Shavishom yesh niros b'nei ahecha. V'adayin hoi ha-mokom home v'forsim b'zman ha-rishonim zal. And at the time of Rishonim, they knew where this was. K'mavu b'sefer tu as ha-aretz, b'shem sefer kadman ha-nikra e'la ma'asayis b'zeh ha-loshim. The Rishonim still knew when they came there to all this was. V'hochen b'emek in the valley, at shemagim ha-itztabar shem v'hara Zaysim. Until a certain platform of the Hara Zaysim. That was the place that they shechted the paraduma. They went up the mountain till that itztabah, which was opposite the opening of the hechel. This is the place for tefillah. It was from the Rishonim Kosh Shahuda Yom Kubal Amokamahu Shall You Serve in a Park. Like the Kafta of Farah was really the major safer that we have from the Rishonim that about the geography of Eretz Yisrael and all the halachas that are dependent upon it. He came to Eretz Yisrael and he spent many years in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote extensively. We have three volumes that he wrote, which is the major source. Because remember, there are two problems. Number one was the simple problem, a simple geography that we know that you can find that in 1 second today was not known altogether in the world. There was no recorded geography of the world. The Rishonim, in the end of the Gemara Kedushin, is a statement that Mitra b'marova sadarava pras. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, the pras, the Euphrates River, is a big testimony that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. Well, the Rishonim did not know what was the course of the river. Did it run from the northwest to the southeast? Did it run from the northeast to the southwest? They had no idea how the river was structured, the layout of the river. Nor did they know which way the current of the river ran. Did it run from north to south or south to north? There are a few rivers in the world, not many, which run in that direction. I think the Nile is one of them. It runs the opposite, I think, of most rivers in the world. So they had no idea. So they were all over the map trying to figure out how this went, what exactly it meant. Tosfos of Machairus writes, remember, near the end of the era of the Mali Tosfos, the beginning of the 14th century, there was a big Rav Yechiel of Paris went and he made a yeshiva of 300 Bali Tosfos because he saw that the days in France were numbered in 1305, they were driven out of France. So at the end of the 13th century, he went off there to Eretz Yisrael with 300 Bali Tosfos and he established a yeshiva of Bali Tosfos in Akko. So Tosfos of Machairus, pretty good, two different places, talks about this. And he finally says it was about Tosfos. They came back from Eretz Yisrael, and now they have the whole story straight. The river flows from the northwest to the southeast. It starts the Euphrates, starts somewhere up in Turkey. It throws down all the way through the Middle East, going towards the southeast, and drains into the Persian Gulf. And the river runs from north to south. And therefore, if there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, so downstream in the Euphrates, the river gets swollen. So that's Sad Mitra B'marava Sad Arava Pras. So one was the problem, there was the general problem of geography, and then there was the specifics. If you're not an Eretz Yisrael, you can imagine a lot of things being true, but what actually was true, who knows? So these were the Kafka of Farach was a major source, in fact, for us in the halacha, for many, many aspects of the Dinim of Eretz Yisrael that it came. We see the geography through the eyes of a Rishon. In other words, through his understanding of Shas and Peskin and what he saw before, is a different Metzius. And we know also the Ramban made many changes in his Perush and Chumash after he came to Eretz Yisrael. Changed certain things. He saw firsthand certain things and he had a different understanding. Rabbi said, this is a little bit an inkling of what the Paraduma is about. You want the rest of the story, learn the Sefer Torah.